You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show.
Yes, Bing is for doing, and we are doing AfterBuzz TV Boardwalk Empire, The Milkmaid's Lot. This is, wow, they didn't write it down. Season what, Marissa? Where are we?
Season three, episode 8.
Okay, you know who that is. Who are you?
I'm Kristen Carney.
It's Kristen Carney with Kevin Undergaro, and on the board I have...
Hi, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini. Hey,
and Marissa, we are very grateful to have you tonight, Marissa. To have a veteran person in the booth. We've had some audio problems the last few weeks, and our fans are not happy about it.
Right.
We're not really happy about it either, right?
No, I mean, as uncomfortable as I am listening to myself back anyway, on top of having like a sound issue, I've been a little bit angsty about it too.
And last week you didn't have to hear yourself, you had to hear us.
No, yeah, which was better.
Yeah, it was better. It was better, yeah. That we were really bad without you.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe we would have been good if we had you.
That's the only reason I don't show up, is to just show the void when I'm not there.
Right, just so we
people
can
realize it. Just kidding.
No, we, yeah.
Barely
we,
a void,
we,
but.
Well, I know, we did miss you. We do miss Ebony Williams, who I think it's what bachelor party she has,
or I think it was something like that.
Some wedding
something
thing,
fun.
And then something work related, and then of course Bethany is on Homeland tonight.
Yeah,
she has a role on Homeland, so she's up in Studio A doing our Homeland show. Anyway, tonight's episode, as always, I loved it, and wow,
yeah,
my God, well. I guess, like, just really quickly, we should just touch on Remus because we have to.
Right.
He gets caught. We see the seeds that Nucky planted with Gaston Means sprout. And we see our prosecutor goes and picks him up.
But how great to see him getting picked up in his robe with no dignity whatsoever.
Right.
You know, he's got no shirt on, his huge chest exposed,
and quite
running
the house
around.
In the mansion.
In the mansion.
Right.
It's just seeing... Always seeing the fall from grace. We always see that huge fall from grace. But he might have a case because he said, you know, I've got the receipts.
He's going to turn evidence on Jess Smith.
Right.
And again, I don't want to get too into Jess Smith and what happens to him in history.
Right.
But yeah, you know, it may not be the end of Remus.
Yeah.
So.
Nothing is ever final. Whenever you think a decision is made in the show, it just goes further. It's a step further. It's not like you get Remus and Remus is gone.
Yeah, no, no,
it's going to just continue.
No, it can't. It's going to lead to much more. And I don't know what else we really can say on that. I think we had a touch on it, but...
Of course.
There's so many bigger things that happened.
Kristen wasn't interested in Remus.
Kristen was not interested
no.
in Remus. No. Okay.
We had bigger fish to fry in this episode.
And I think... And we've talked about the Remus jolt, the Remus talking in second person being a little old.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Richard.
Me too.
If there was one nice part of this episode, it was Richard.
It always seems to be Richard. The really soft, vulnerable portion of the show.
That part. But the fact that I feel like he had victory tonight. He had...
He had lipstick on his mask that he kind of left there. It was almost like a trophy mark for... Obviously, it could get him in trouble with Jillian, but I love the fact that he lied to Jillian and said, I have a meeting.
He said,
to discuss pay.
Service compensation.
Right.
And to me...
Hint, hint, Jillian.
To me, it was... Yeah, it was... The subtext of that is, you know, it's time for me to be compensated for everything that I've done, for all I've sacrificed for my country, for what I've sacrificed for Jimmy, what I've sacrificed for you.
Right.
Now, it's time for me to get paid.
That's when Richard should come in and say, Richard needs to get paid. Richard needs to have a little fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what he was saying.
He was.
Interesting, you know, and there's no way that the kid would draw a picture of a rhino waiting for a train if it didn't mean something. You know, what do you think that means?
Well, I know that Richard knew what it meant, and the girl...
Tommy, by the way, the
Tommy,
child.
Tommy, right. And so Richard knew what it meant, but the girl from the brothel didn't know what that was instantly. The instant Richard looked at the picture, he said, oh, the rhino waiting for the train. If someone, me or you, someone who didn't really know Tommy, looked at that, we wouldn't know instantly it's a rhino waiting for a train. It's not that obvious. So Richard clearly has a connection with Tommy. Tommy's probably drawn that in the past.
What's the deeper meaning? What's the subtext?
The subtext, I would guess, is Tommy wants to go home. Maybe, I don't know. That's me maybe reaching right now. But, you know, like he said, he wants to go home.
Oh, I think they all want to go home.
Yeah.
To a degree. I think that was maybe one of the underlying themes of the whole episode.
Yeah.
Is we see a lot of the characters. You know, Nucky saying it. Margaret wants to run away. You know, they all want to get away. And, you know, who knows what the rhino is. I kind of think the rhino is Richard.
Yeah.
And I do think that Richard is. I just keep going back to the fact that he's the one, I think, that's going to really kick some ass.
Right.
He's the scariest one on the show because I think... Not scary in terms of...
The sleeping giant
he's a sleeping
is always
giant
the scariest.
Because he's precise. He's accurate. And just seeing him dance. Of course he was great at dancing.
And you know what I really liked about that scene where he was dancing is that she said... they were sitting there not dancing, and then she said, oh, this is the perfect song. And it was almost like, just like a sniper would, he was kind of waiting. You know, he wasn't just jumping in to dance to any song. It was, you know, you choose.
That's right.
You choose carefully.
And again, his movements were precise. One, two, three, he knew it.
Right.
And you know, and again, just so many little things like, this is the only dance I know. It's the only way I know how to do things, I think. Yep. I'm one way.
Yep.
I'm not a philanderer. I'm not about, you know, I'm straight as an arrow. And I also think... Notice the difference between him getting mocked and Van Alden getting mocked. And Jip getting mocked, right? Mm-hmm. When Jip and Van Alden get mocked, you know, Van Alden took it, then snapped like an animal.
Right.
Jip, from the get-go, you even look in the guy's wrong in his direction, he snaps like an animal. And Richard just takes the crap from people and stays calm. But it was interesting tonight when they were like, it was Miss Sigorsky and Richard. Miss Sigorsky and Richard. He said, you already said that. Very interesting. And that was his way of calling the guy out.
Right.
For being a dick.
Being a total dick.
But I love that.
Yeah. And that's what Richard does. He has a really smart way of not being aggressive and getting his point across. And I think that's why his rage doesn't build in the same way that Van Alden's would build. Because Richard will say things to level the playing ground. He'll say something really subtle. Whereas that Van Alden really holds back, holds everything in, and then
explodes. Snaps.
Right.
And is totally emotional. And isn't that what Rothstein, which we'll talk about later, accuses Nucky of in earlier scenes? Like, you're letting your emotions get in the way. And with Richard, it doesn't seem as much. I mean, his emotions are in the way in terms of he's going to protect Tommy, and he's going to protect weaker people, and he's in love with this lady. But that's emotional, but it's also kind of the right thing to do.
Yeah, he makes the right decisions. He doesn't snap at Jillian right now because he knows that's probably not the right thing to do. He needs to use Jillian to continue to get paid,
right?
But also be able to go now do his own dealings.
And as a means to take care of Tommy.
Right,
because he loves him. He said, put your arm up and trust me. I love that, to end the dance.
And you would so trust Richard.
Yeah. Of course.
Like, I'd let him shoot the glass off my head with the gun.
You know, there's like, we go back to, I think it was Godfather 3, which was not a very good movie, but that famous line Pacino says of you know, every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, like, Margaret, you know, trying to get out with Slater. And Richard, it seems like he was almost going to make it out. You know, we always see him down the boardwalk having his around the freak show, right? Then we see him, the only other place he seems like he's kind of okay is kind of being the Igor of this, like, Castle Frankenstein, this, you know, the brothel.
Right.
And to see that he finally went out on a normal Saturday night to the American Legion Hall to a dance. He dances well. He gets a kiss. People root for him. They're so happy.
Right. But that asshole Jillian won't let him enjoy it.
Won't let him enjoy it. And that's what I'm saying about pulling him back in. And that's what I take wiping the lipstick off to mean.
Right.
Like, he did leave it on. It probably meant so much to him.
Yeah.
And then looking in the mirror and then wiping it off means I'm probably going to have to stay in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Stay in the dungeon and do the Mrs. Bidding for the sake of this poor baby.
Yeah. But what I liked was that Richard looked in the mirror. He wiped the lipstick subtly. He didn't really scrub or say, oh no, I really have to hide this from Jillian. He kind of knew she already saw it. He's going to take his lickings and he's going to go back. But he left it there. It didn't scare him too much.
So maybe that would foreshadow that he's going to try to have both.
Right.
He's going to try to have this girl. So the rhino in the train, who knows if that's not foreshadowing for him taking Tommy and getting the hell out of there.
Yeah.
With this new lady.
Yeah.
Getting Tommy out of that brothel.
Yeah. Jillian will probably start making love to Tommy soon.
I mean, right?
It's horrifying.
She is horrifying.
Yeah.
She is an awful woman.
She is. And I want to be on her side, but then she'll do things like that.
Oh, how can you be on her side?
Because,
because she was a victim to begin with.
Yeah. And she's trying to make her way. But it's funny because I'm kind of like a self-loathing woman. Like, I'm not always for the women. I like to sometimes see them not succeed if they're doing it in a mean, wrong, vindictive way. So I don't necessarily always like her, but now I truly don't like her character.
I like her
as an actress.
Well, here's what I think you don't like about the character. And it's the same reason you don't like anything about Chip. Margaret is doing her share of crappy things, but she's also doing all this nice work at the hospital.
Right.
And Nucky doing his share of crappy things, but he also does nice things for those kids. And we see where he's got a heart and he's sweet.
There's redeeming qualities.
That's right.
Jillian really hasn't showed any in this whole season.
None.
There was a flashback I watched this week on HBO highlighting some of season 2. And they showed the scene with Jillian where Jimmy comes in and... This isn't a tangent. This relates.
No, it's okay. Good.
The Commodore. I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah.
So the Commodore, this is when Jimmy gets in a fight with him in that one moment, and she says, finish him. Like, finish him. And I found, the Commodore was coming in to save Jillian because he thought Jillian was in a bad situation. And then, Jimmy killing him, she was okay with that. And I get it. He abused her and all that kind of stuff. But I like to see the good in people. And so when the Commodore was coming in to help her and then she stabbed him in the back,
right,
those things that she does over and over and over,
right,
lends me zero compassion toward her.
Yeah, no, none. Yeah. None. I agree. Yeah. She's heinous. And it's interesting you pointed out those things with Richard. So Richard's hopefully going to try to do both. I think it does look like he tries to take off with Tommy, and I know there's more predictions, but at some point it feels like Mr. Grosky takes Tommy and leaves. Now, the flip to that is that could mean no more Richard, and we don't want to see that. The other thing I'm fearful of in terms of prediction is we're watching a tragedy, right? This is one of these shows we've talked about. It's essentially a tragedy. I believe it is anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And that being the case, is Mrs. Sigursky doomed? Is she doomed?
You almost look at her like a Billy Kent. It's like you kind of knew in that moment she was doomed. And I think she is, but I also think Richard's strong enough that maybe she might not be. I get nervous because I think if Richard left with Tommy, that would be Jillian's way to get Jip after Richard. And perhaps Jip would be the one to hurt Miss Sigursky.
Right. And that's what I'm afraid of. It's just because it's all going too well for him.
Right.
And then, he's flipping the switch. And oh my God, you should pity Jip. Because if Richard goes if you get him on, you forget it.
Yeah, especially if you hurt her.
Exactly. Or Tommy, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
He could very well be even worse than Nucky.
Yeah.
Or at least equal.
What would be amazing is if something did happen to Miss Sigursky and Richard went and got his vengeance and just blew off Jip's head or whatever. But then something happens to Jillian and he just lets Jillian lay there and die. That would make me happy.
Well, I... I don't know if it's not so far-fetched what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it'll be Chalky White, if it will be Richard. I'm confident Jip's going to get it. But, you know, from who and what season, I don't know.
But, you know, okay, maybe, I don't know if this is the right time to bring up, but, you know, with the general, his name was Anthony Williams. Was that...
Anthony Wayne.
Anthony Wayne. There's just a little bit of a character similarity between him and Jip.
Wait, before we get there, right? Because we have that a little later on the show.
Okay.
But I do want to talk. But by the way,
similar.
How creepy was the statue? I mean, the mannequin. Just the mannequin. The shot of the mannequin itself.
Yeah.
Was just scary. And by the way, I thought great editing, because every time we cut to it, it was like. It was really creepy.
And the lighting was really dim this whole entire episode, and especially in that scene when Jip was looking at him.
It did. It looked like
it
a haunted house.
Super haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
dark.
Great. Okay, so listen, guys. As far as iTunes goes, we ask that you keep commenting.
No, actually, we don't ask. Just stop commenting.
Stop. No, but then Phil will get mad at us. We're supposed to ask.
Yeah, no.
It's our job. Yeah, we'll keep taking the beatings. We're sorry about the audio.
No, you guys, we are a little... I'm a little bit like Van Alden, so if we keep getting the beating...
Oh, I like that.
I might explode.
Really?
But that's okay. We'll take it. But, you know, just look out for your face and your iron.
Just trash this set, maybe?
Yeah.
And we'll hide behind the glass in the booth with Marissa.
Yep.
No, rate and comment, please, I think, right? And now you have me nervous. Not be asking. We're sorry. We it's great that you let us know about the audio, because we jumped on it as best we could to fix it. And, I think the whole racism thing came up with me again, how I joke about it. And, you know, it made me realize one thing. Like, I think the fans of this show want to break down a boardwalk. They don't want jokes. They don't want nonsense. They don't want sidetracks. And I apologize for that. You know, that's really us trying to be funny, I think. And I realize I have to save that for Jersey Shore and not for Boardwalk.
The other Atlantic.
So, yeah. And then there was just some other comments that we just can't address. They just hate us. So,
yeah.
It's nothing we can do. We're
trying
our best. But you don't like us, so I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
But anyway, for the rest of you, please keep rating and commenting on us. We do enjoy it. And it does help us a lot. Now, Margaret and Slater. We touched on them a little bit. Slater says, let's run away from home. Like I said,
Do you feel like this is coming a little bit out of nowhere? Because we really didn't see their relationship develop much at the beginning of the season. And in the past two episodes...
But we know from last season he's been digging on her.
Because we saw him with Katie. You know, it was
Katie was just kind of a bim.
Yeah.
This is like someone from his country. And no, I
think the
it.
Ireland thing really unites them.
I buy it.
Yeah.
I buy it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No.
No.
I mean, Nucky gave Margaret that fair warning without even knowing. You know, no one can get away from me.
Right.
This always happens. Something will happen. Either I'll do it to you or you'll do it to me. But he wasn't talking to her.
I don't know what the reason will be. I don't see him forcing it. I see it. I don't know what's going to happen. It may be the kids. I don't know what it'll be. I think. She, like we went talking about Pacino and Godfather 3, and like Richard, she'll get pulled back in.
Yeah, but Margaret, just like all these other guys, are kind of dropping like flies from Nucky, you know? And I don't know if she's one of them and will be able to.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I hope. Come on. It's like bad enough they killed Jimmy so soon. No, we need her.
Yeah.
We need her. And I mean...
Yeah, because there could be no side storyline with just her and Owen.
No, it would be that.
Like a bad romance novel.
No, that would be it. But... interesting where she hears from Slater, like let's run away from this. But I love in the moment she steps up and is a good Irish wife.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, like all the women we've seen this season, she's very strong in a moment where her man is weak, for better or worse. And she says, this is what you need to do. You need to focus. It was a really great exchange. And she got him strong enough to take that meeting.
Yeah. He did really well in the meeting.
Well, again,
we'll get to that. Sorry,
you're supposed to be a writer. Quickly.
Sorry,
you're not Bethany.
I'm focusing on Nucky. I have the loud.
There's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah,
but with Margaret and Slater, I do buy it, and I feel like she softens up when she sees how much he loves those kids.
Yeah, she does.
Which I know is all over the board tonight because of the concussion.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just perceiving this, but when Margaret's around Owen, I think she looks prettier, and she looks younger, and she looks softer.
You think that's
softer.
A decision by the directors?
I do. When she's with Nucky, it's like she looks like the older Irish housewife, very prim proper, you know, not
matronly.
Prim proper, but matronly.
Right.
But when she's with Owen, there's almost, all of a sudden, there's a piece of hair over her eye that just looks a little flirtatious and a little blown in the wind.
Gotcha.
Or she has a little bit more lipstick.
I'll look for that more.
Yeah, it's always interesting because she looks like she has a little sexual glow or tinge around him that she just doesn't have with Nucky, even when she's telling him to get his business in order. You know, it's like she has that glow with Owen.
It doesn't surprise me. That
I would too. I think Owen's a stud.
That's what you guys all say.
But
I'll
not
take your word for it.
But not in 2012 though. If I've binged him and you know, he does. It's that era really makes him very appealing. But
I was more Jimmy. That was the guy I see him as the stud.
Yeah, but now I'm on the, you know, we got second best now. I can't look at Jimmy anymore. But
who is, yeah, I guess he would be fine.
What do you think would happen to Owen if they did attempt to go and Nucky doesn't have anyone? You know, he doesn't have any guys left, and if
he's got Eli.
Yeah.
Got Eli. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I could see him turning on Owen. I don't see any, like,
no,
any real...
No, no. And Owen, he came off very strong last season as far as, like, a strong arm.
Yeah.
And this season, he gets weaker and weaker every episode. He gets more and more fearful in his eyes.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine. We need another strong arm.
Yeah. And how bad is that paranoia that they get when Nucky just goes to say, now, what happened? And he's not talking about them, but they're both paranoid.
Right.
You know, in their eyes.
Yeah, they're thinking like, oh, he's going to find out.
Yeah. But Nucky's really asking about the birthday party or whatever.
Right, something else. Yeah, you see it in their eyes.
So that can really weaken strength. Anyway.
I thought it was interesting, too, to see the hotel or wherever they're staying, the Ritz-Carlton, so messy and disorganized, you know, and I think that really spoke to the chaos in Nucky's brain. And I think the kid is doing, he's such a great actor, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are you talking about...
Tommy's great, too, but no, but also Teddy.
Teddy.
Is great. He's a great actor.
He really is.
He really
kind of freaks
good.
Me out.
And the girl's adorable.
Yeah.
Isn't she cute?
Yeah, she's going to be a looker.
Yeah.
She gets older. You know, the disorganization in the hotel also spoke to Margaret as well, I think, because she's never let anything... out
yep,
of sorts.
Yep, yep. And the dog.
And the
there.
Dog. And she was, you guys are driving me crazy. I want to run away. And she's always very strong and she has everything in order, you know, and Teddy wouldn't make his bed. And she, obviously, Teddy.
Oh, that was a great line. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, he said, she said they won't always be maids.
And that was was that before or after Owen talked about going? You know, because if they left.
Before. It was before.
Yeah. So
but
I think
it makes you realize, like,
right.
Yeah, they won't always be maids.
Right, and Margaret and Owen alone don't really have anything to offer in terms of financial.
Yeah, we'll just go on love.
Yeah, it doesn't work, people.
But she said, you know, remember that last line? We'll end them there. Is, you know, we'll go on as soon as we're able. She mm-hmm. said to him. So you know,
and as soon as you're able, I think for her has, for someone else might be. The minute we can, we'll run. But I think for Margaret, that means as soon as we're able, as soon as everything's in order, as soon as we have, you know, plans and a itinerary, you know, I don't think Margaret would just I don't think they would just run. You know, what I'm saying is Margaret would be very planned. She said, as soon as we're able.
Right.
Meaning everything's got to be in order.
Right. It's all right. But yeah, it just doesn't seem like you'd get out of that. But I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
And the more you say that with these writers of these shows, it seems like the more they're challenged to give you something different, like mm-hmm. to not be predictable. So who knows? So before we get into, you know, Nucky, and we'll talk about he and his team again, like, let's talk about Jip. And we see this rise to power. Very nice double-breasted suit. He buttons it, and he shows up to Jersey with, I mean, how many black cars? Everyone with Tommy guns. I mean, he is armed and he's ready. He's got the Masseria army behind him, Masseria, excuse me, army behind him. And of course, has to brutally beat the sheriff because...
Of course.
That's what he has to do.
Right, of course. He mentioned to the town about reading and how important that was. And I thought, how ironic. He said, you know, school will continue or, you know, librarians will continue to check out books. Reading's important.
Reading's important. And then, but Bible study
canceled.
Is canceled. It just, again, shows his anti-God, mm-hmm. I think, his anti-God, anti...
Anger toward God.
Mm-hmm. But read. But you don't read the Bible.
Right, right. You know, I wanted one of the people in the town to speak up.
They did, kind of. They tried a little bit. And he said, this isn't a...
I'm not taking question and
it's
answers.
It's not a Q&A. But... He gave them all $200, and we were trying to figure out what $200 would be at the time. And I think like houses back then were probably anywhere from, and this is a guess, so you guys are probably going to kill me, the fans. But I'm guessing between say $5,000 would get you a house back then.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think of the house I grew up in, which was it was a very
$200 would keep your mouth shut essentially.
I think by my calculations it would be about. I thought about $12,000. If I was thinking of the first house I grew up in, what it was worth then, probably like $5,000. What it's worth now is like $400.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of going by that. And that's a Northeast house, small.
Right.
You know, but anyway, it just seemed like that was a guess. And that would be a lot of money. If that's true, it's a lot of money to keep, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah.
They all
gasped a little bit.
They're like, wow.
Geez, I'll take that.
But I need your addresses as well. That's what was scary.
Yeah, and I don't like that involving the innocent and making them have to answer for any of this at all.
No, but, you know, he's just ruthless.
He's really ruthless.
He's ruthless. He's not the charming... They're the charming... I mean, Capone was very charming with civilians. All the way... And, you know, that's kind of traditional. Even all the way up to Gotti. You know, with civilians, it was like they couldn't do enough of civilians, whether it was firework shows or block parties, you know. So it's interesting to see him be semi-charming, but...
A little dismissive, a little too dismissive.
Mm-hmm. And mean.
It's not going to serve him
well. And everyone with big, giant guns behind him. No, in the long run, it won't. It won't serve him well. Before we talk about his little tete-a-tete with Joe Mazzaria... tell me about what did you find out about Matt Anthony Wayne, the general who stayed in Jersey for a night or two?
So really he was an Army general and statesman, and he adopted a military career at the outset of the American Revolutionary War, and he quickly, this is where I say he has a little bit of similarities with Gyp, because he quickly rose through the ranks and became a general very quickly.
Oh. And was he crazy? Did they say that? I mean, he must be to have the name Matt Anthony, right?
I think he's beloved. You know, the post office had issued stamps for him in 1929, and he died in, 1796.
Right. So he was in the war.
So.
The Revolutionary War, and he lived a little bit afterwards.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything about his personality necessarily.
Well,
I mean, he had to be.
By the way, right.
He's got
the name Matt Anthony Wayne, which is perfect because we know Gyp's a madman, but he rose to general very quickly. And I think that's great. That's, it seems like perfect symbolism. And when we talk about the exchange between Joe and Gyp, Joe goes at him hard at first. Like, you got me into this now. You didn't finish the job with Rothstein and Nucky, and he's talked to him about going too fast. You're moving too fast. And then he picks up the rock, and he's like, it takes thousands of years for this rock to become smooth. It was rough, and then it became smooth. And business is going to take time. He's like,
which is the polar opposite of this Matt Anthony.
That's right. It's fast.
Right.
And for Gyp to really become a gentleman, it would take a long time, and we simply don't have the time. It's just, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
He's trying to intonate that takes time, you know, and then he says to him, these guys are all loyal, and but you'll make a good general someday. So it's weird. So in the one respect, he was short with him and kind of saying, like, I was king, and you were going to fix all this. And now, but by the end of it, he seemed positive.
Yeah, it was. He was a little, not to say wishy-washy, but he was a little indecisive, I think, toward his feelings with Jip.
And that was, thus it was like one of those things where you break the guy down, then build him back up. So he knocked him down a little bit, then he kind of inspired him.
Right.
And then we just see him, which shows how crazy he is, and also what just a goofball too.
With the hat.
He wears the hat down.
You want to see him doing that seriously. You know, I'm a general, but it's so comical because he's such an absurdist kind of character that you can't.
I mean, you're right. I mean, think of the leash around his neck.
Exactly.
Weeks before.
Maybe if Nucky put on the hat, it might be a little more serious. But someone like Jip, where he's got this ego, and it's almost a cartoonish ego that he has of himself.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, Nucky might put it on at a costume party, and then there'd be some symbolism behind it.
Right.
But this guy
to actually
walk
wear
up,
it.
And like, don't I look good in my hat? And you see the people they looked up for a second, they're so scared of him, they all just said, oh, right. Screw it.
Because there's the guy that you could see put that on and be like, oh, hey, no,
yeah,
nice
yeah.
hat. But this, you know,
no.
him in that hat, it's like, back off.
Yeah,
He's not kidding.
Yeah, hello, General.
Right, it's got a musket.
Yeah. Crazy.
He's a maniac. I do love his character.
I love it too. Well, I love, you know, the formula that always seems to work with these shows. I say it all the time is, you know, whether it's every season or every other season, give us
a really
great antagonist. And let's build him up and have him kick ass before our protagonist, who usually is kind of an antagonist in these shows as well, takes him down.
Right.
So poor Nucky has the concussion the whole show. And I thought Buscemi played it very well.
Yeah, he did well.
He's such a good actor.
Yeah, it's got to be hard.
Yeah. And a good sound design. You have the ringing mm-hmm. sound coming in and him going back and forth, trying to stay lucid.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really hard.
He's the kind of guy that obviously isn't going to rest. He's not going to lay down.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to give himself time to recover. But this is, I think, beginning an unraveling. And of course, we know with history, he doesn't really go. So I'm not saying that this is going to be his downfall. But not letting himself fully recover, I don't think he'll ever be himself again. It's almost, you know, a football player gets knocked
on
the shoulder.
No, he will
be. You think so?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Sure. He's Nucky. He's Nucky. He's in it for the long haul with us. I mean, my prediction is because history says he lives a longer life, and I think that they'll stick to it. No, he'll get past this, just like he's going to get past all these guys that are messing with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we did talk about his exchange with Margaret and his appearance at the birthday party. Let's talk about his meeting with Rothstein and the boys.
Well, I do before we...
No, go ahead. Please.
I want to mention this about Margaret with the earring, with the hummingbird
earring.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. Sorry, you're right.
I really liked that, and I really liked using the hummingbird earring when Nucky found it sitting there and lifted it up. You know, we all know hummingbirds never stop moving.
Right.
That's their thing. They always are fluttering.
And that was Billy.
And that was Billy.
Because you remember, and that's great. That's a great pickup. Because remember, they said, oh, my father always says, everyone's moving but going nowhere.
Exactly. And he picked up that earring and it was perfectly still. It didn't dangle.
Wow.
And it didn't move. It was just like a dead
great
still.
Great pickup, Kristen.
That's my only one. I was like, star,
no,
circle, star.
No, that's not your only one. That's great. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then, you know, when he showed it to Margaret, it was like also, and you know, it was continuously in just a dead position. So, yep, totally.
It was a great pickup. And
I
think also, you know, the gas leak is like, gas is like something that it's silent and it leaks and then it explodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing that with a lot of people, but that's what I think is going to happen with all the people messing with Nucky. But that's a whole other story in itself. It was just great as Nucky kept going back and forth to having the concussion, being out of it, to being old Nucky.
Right.
So when he's old Nucky, he's like, it's a gas leak. And let's get a meeting of all these guys. Like, and then, you know, when he'd lose it, he'd fall out. She props him up, gets him to the meeting. He holds it together. He runs a pretty good meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Rothstein says, hey, you know.
I'm surprised that Rothstein made the decision this late, because there were a couple episodes ago where I thought to myself, you know, Nucky for Rothstein is just too, it's too difficult to work with Nucky right now. And I thought, being Rothstein, obviously not making any decisions with his emotions and just being pure business, I thought he would have ditched Nucky
right.
a couple episodes ago.
He almost should have.
Yeah.
I believe he didn't, because Nucky kind of hooked him up when he needed the help a while ago. So, and it seemed like Nucky maybe is the devil you know, and is a little bit easier to work with than Jip. So,
but they also know that Jip's crazy enough where they don't want to be.
But you do know if you get in bed with someone crazy, eventually they're going to get you, and that's what Nucky did say to him.
Well, that's why I'm a little also just perturbed that Rothstein didn't agree to work with Nucky on this, because Rothstein is also being a target. He's targeted by Jip. So Rothstein, for not standing up and getting on board with this, let's take down
Rossetti, weird. Because, well, I think Rothstein's not about war. He's about making money. And you know what? I have no beef with Masseria. I'm going to just go make money. But guess what? You know, Jip's got a target for you. So it's going to be interesting, because for Jip, it's about Rothstein and Nucky Thompson. Unless Rothstein comes and kisses his ass, which we've never seen Rothstein kiss anyone's ass. He's just business. But Rothstein says, I wish you all the luck. And isn't it interesting that, you know, we know by history, and I don't think this is too big of a bomb for tuna. See, you're smart. So smart. But this isn't a spoiler. We know Rothstein will die in a bad card. You know, he owns in a card game that he loses and owes a lot of money to. So it's just very interesting. I wish you luck.
To me,
it's just like, you know, do we jump ahead and does this guy end up just dying at a... I think, as Mike August had pointed out, ends up being a military rifle. That could very well be Richard. At Richard's hands at some point. We don't know. That was a connection that Mike August made.
It's a cool one.
But it's going to be interesting, because as of now, Jip wants to kill the both of them. He doesn't want just Nucky. He wants Rothstein, too.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if Rothstein goes back to Nucky, or if they stay separated or whatever. I'm excited.
I mean, Masseria is obviously playing a big part in Rothstein's decision to not move forward with this, because, you know, we know that Rothstein sent Bugsy Siegel to kill Jip.
Right. Right.
I'm just a little disappointed in Rothstein. He just must be really intimidated by the Masseria.
I think when you go through an explosion, it just kind of makes you go, okay. If you're just about business, if you're about business, like, you know what, I don't need this.
Yeah.
I want to make money.
Yeah. And Rothstein also, unless they didn't lead on, he didn't have the type of injuries, the severity of injuries.
Just some cuts on his face.
Right.
But he's enough to go, okay, this guy's crazy, Nucky's not crazy. I'd rather be an enemy of Nucky's, who's not crazy, than enemy of this madman.
Yeah, yeah.
So I buy it.
Right.
And
it's like that old, it's probably not an old saying, but, you know, if you see someone crazy on the street, we always say just act crazier than they are to maybe scare them away.
Right, right.
And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to do that to Jip.
No, no one's going to out-crazy him.
No.
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 So it's just someone, I think, it's Nucky's emotions that have gotten us here. His love for Billy, he got really weak. Now that that's gone, and once this concussion healed... I'm just telling you, oh my God, he's going to...
But with who?
With what? Yeah, he will. He's Nucky. You know how many times he's been down and out on this series?
I know.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not that imaginative.
We have Eli, some of the other bosses came in. I mean...
The other teams just seem so much stronger and so much more legit to me. You know, Eli was
put away for a while. I bet you Masseria doesn't have people in politics. Nucky does.
Yeah.
You know, what about Carnegie Mellon? I mean, not Carnegie Mellon, Andrew Mellon.
Right.
Right? So don't...
Well, like Nucky said in the meeting, we have friendly ties with Washington.
Yep. Right. So don't... I mean, you know Nucky's going to... I mean, he's going to prevail. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's going to be fun watching him.
I'm always so impressed with the writers figuring out how he'll prevail.
Yeah.
I'd throw in the towel and be like, I don't know.
No,
I can't figure out another route.
Stop that. No, if you were in the room with them, you'd figure it out. You also, it's great because you have history to guide you, and I always say that I love how they bring in the history into this and weave it in. And also, it's just a little shout out. And I know we don't have any news and gossip this week.
I just have one little tiny.
Oh, okay. Let's go, Marissa.
AfterBuzz TV News.
It's more silly than anything else, but Paz de la Huerta was seen recently, I think on November 8th, looking a little preggers.
Ooh.
And she denied the pregnancy rumors, but apparently she must have put on weight.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they said there was rumors started swirling after her new body. So I haven't seen any pictures yet, though. So that's my hard breaking news.
You know, well, you know what? There's also for news is that, you know, the actor who plays Rothstein is also has a great role in Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed Lincoln.
Did you see it? I loved it.
Yeah. I thought Daniel Day-Lewis did a great job. And I'm as you guys know, I'm a student of history, so I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I know a lot of people had their criticisms.
I'm excited to see it.
I thought it was great. But it was what was the most interesting thing to watch was that the trend that I'm seeing, and I think we're going to see a lot more of, is that you anchor your lead with a Daniel Day-Lewis, okay? And then you surround him with all these amazing character actors. So other than, say, like James Spader, everyone else was from Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire. I didn't see anyone from Homeland. Maybe I'd have to think. There's one other of, like, the major...
Like Breaking Bad or something.
Yes. There was... If you looked at all the different supporting people, you're like, oh, yeah, I know him. There's a couple guys from Mad Men. There was, you know.
Shows you how strong these shows are.
Yeah, yeah. And it's incredible because these guys are really doing it for the craft because they ain't doing it for the money.
No.
They're not getting they're certainly not getting what Ashton Kutcher's getting on Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah.
Because they deserve it.
They do deserve it. And you know, you wish them well and you want them to.
But it keeps them pure.
But it keeps it pure. And so for us as a fan, maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
It's going this way.
Yeah.
And maybe it's okay. We'll let Snooki make the money.
Right.
And the housewives, they can make all the millions.
Right.
And our really super talented actors.
They'll
keep being talented.
Yeah. For us. So we can reap the benefits.
So that's news and gossip. Before we go to predictions, let's do catches of the week.
Sure. And then I've got Jason's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? Go do that. Tell us about the Afterblog.
Well, Afterblog's awesome. You guys can just go to AfterBuzzTV.com/Afterblog. And it's just brand new, so we're getting started. But they have several shows with really great writers doing blogs. And they're highly involved, descriptive blogs that are really worth reading, especially if you want to follow up after the show. If you can't get enough, you know, if this isn't enough for you guys, go ahead and check out the after blog.
Well, Jason has he's got the advantage of having a day or two to kind of do some research and digest this. And you as a writer, I mean, talk about Jason's talent.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I was admiring this one paragraph about Van Alden, because Van Alden's such a complex character that if you can write on what's written, essentially, and continue to make it interesting, is really talented. You know, because
that shows the talent Jason.
Right, like he can also harness what these writers have written about and make it even, you know, continue to make it interesting, not just restate.
Right,
you know, everything.
It's not just like a straight recap.
Right, like, you know, he's got his own imagination and brain that's making this really interesting. But I like his take on Van Alden, just talking about how he's been simmering. Just the idea of simmering, because you think of the word simmering and you think of a teapot and it's just the air is coming out and it's just this whistle is just kind of quiet and then it's getting really.
Right?
So, you know, he just talks about Van Alden and getting terrorized by these, as he calls them, monkey brain jokesters. And I really like how he says, the indignity of getting terrorized by monkey brain jokesters in an office every day when you once pistol whipped the scum of the earth for a living, compounded with the indignity of running a hooch mill out of his little apartment, compounded with the still deeper indignity of playing the thug at the beck and call of a cheap, smarmy little hoodlum, well, these indignities add up.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is true.
It's so true.
It's just, you know, the layers and layers and layers of crap that Van Alden's been dealing with has been summarized pretty well by Jason.
So please check out our after blogs by going to afterbuzztv.com/afterblogs, or go to our site and you see a button there that'll say after blogs, and check out Jason Squibata's words on this show. And he does Homeland, he does Walking Dead, and then we have several other after bloggers as well.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I just want to say he made pistol whipping someone sound really enjoyable. Like, I would want to pistol whip someone after reading that.
Oh, okay.
I could pistol whip the scum of the earth.
Because you're gangster, baby.
I'm gangster.
Okay. So our super fan, Mike August, always has these great catches, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot from him next week, because just the fact that the whole horse, he's been talking about horses every week, horses, horses,
right.
horses.
And
so
we see
the pony, the pony, the pony, all of this episode. Well, last week's episode was, of course, called The Pony. And Mike says, as we know, a horse symbolizes strength and power and is a Celtic symbol for war. So the pony could be symbolic of the birth of war that is coming or symbolic of those who will be gaining power like Capone and Luciano. Van Alden finds that he is good at intimidation and striking fear into people, and burning his obnoxious co-worker was the beginning of his evolution into becoming a mob enforcer. And he is the iron, dangerous when it gets hot.
Mm.
This was the most brilliantly crafted episode of the season he's talking about last week. It opens and closes with death, with births in between. The births being Van Alden as enforcer, Capone as a boss figure, and the birth of war with Rossetti. And there was talk of birth control throughout the episode for contrast. And ingeniously sticking to that theme, Mellon said to Nucky on the phone, this ends our intercourse. The meeting between Rossetti and Masseria was the intercourse that led to the aforementioned birth of war, being the bombing of Babette's. You pointed out that Pompeii is symbolic of Capone. I also feel that the talk of Pompeii, this is, again, Mike says, that he feels the talk of Pompeii foreshadowed the bombing of Babette's. I think of the workers inside who died without warning, like the cooks, who were likely slaving over hot stoves and chopping carrots at the time of the explosion. And speaking of bombs, the bomb building in Van Alden's gut finally exploded, with the wick being lit by him getting involved with O'Banion. Hence, further praise for this for the excellent cinematic symmetry of this episode and season. We see Jaime Weiss during the meeting with O'Banion. That was interesting, as Weiss later retaliates and tries to kill Capone and Torrio as revenge for taking out O'Banion. And Capone eventually kills Weiss, who went down in history as being one of Capone's biggest arch rivals. Again, sorry about that. That's a bit of a spoiler alert. So I didn't mean to read that. Getting carried away here. I was also wondering, I remember asking the group last week, like, why is that, is referring to someone as sir so offensive? And Mike August had this to say, calling someone sir could be offensive in two ways. One, it assumes a person does not know your name. And secondly, it assumes someone being called sir is old.
Right.
That could explain why Nucky beat the hell out of the young actor.
Right.
So that's it. So I guess we should probably go into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, we saw Van Alden getting scolded a little bit in the preview for the liquor, I believe he was making.
Is it being scolded by Capone? I was trying to figure
that's
out.
That's what I couldn't. That's
or
what I wanted to ask.
Or is that just clever editing? I don't know.
I don't know, because why would Capone? Obviously, they'd be working together.
No,
he's supposed to be with O'Banion.
He's O'Banion, and he's selling his own spirits. And he might have gotten caught peddling out of a little suitcase.
Yeah,
which you don't do.
Yeah. Well, when I saw that, I thought, well, maybe obviously Van Alden went over to work for Al Capone, or Van. Yeah.
No, or he got caught selling for the wife.
Yeah, but why would how? But I don't know why, because, unless they were in their territory, unless Van Alden was in.
Yeah, and Al Capone catches him and says, what are you doing?
But Van Alden's wife said, it's just a couple Norwegians.
I know, but anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. We don't know. We'll find out.
I'd like to see Van Alden work for Capone, though.
Oof.
I'm sure he won't, but I think that'd be a badass.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, because you know what? O'Banion, who I thought would have been a little warmer to him last week, was kind of a dick.
Treated him like a
pushover. Yeah, so you don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. You know, I think one of the things some of the fans were talking about, or maybe we talked about it last week, was a good point. Because everything's so corrupt back then, that he could conceivably, Van Alden could have all of his crimes forgiven just by serving these guys up to the FBI. They're not going to care.
Yeah.
They killed anybody. They'll all wash away if he...
Yeah.
Because it's just such a ruthless time back then. Right. So, anyway, we're going to see a lot of him. I'm predicting we're going to see Nucky get beat up some more by Chip. And that's going to continue on for another, I think, two or three episodes.
I'm really hoping Chalky steps up for Nucky.
I think he's going to.
Yeah.
I think he's going to, but not next week.
Not next week.
But I think he's going to.
Yeah.
So, all right, will you come back and be with me?
I'll be here next week.
So we'll have Bethany back. We will not have Ebony back.
Nope.
Nope, not until the week after.
Nope.
So, anyway, guys, please keep sending your questions and your comments. We love you. We love this show. And, Marissa, anything else?
Where can we find you guys?
Well, you guys can follow me on Twitter. I haven't been tweeting a lot because I just find it so annoying. But anyway, follow me on Twitter. I like the followers, regardless of the lack of tweeting, at Kristen Carney. It's KristenCarney.
And that'd be nice, too. We were talking about tonight how, like, it really just is a place for just mean, nasty, cruel
people. Make the internet a happy place.
It's the Boardwalk Empire.
It is. It really is.
It really is.
And I'm on the bottom rung. Like just driving the alcohol around, getting shit on. It's like that's me on the internet.
That's hilarious. But. Okay. I'm not on. All right, you guys, that was a really funny analogy. I like that. All right, you guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.